Warning! The following is intended for mature audiences. It includes references to the use of illicit substances as well as crude humor. Listener discretion is advised. We're back, America! I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dam!
Marlin.
And you've just tuned into the Warpod, part of the Space City Nerd Network, as well as a new network that we're going to be announcing right now!
Yay!
Oh my god!
Johnny, tell us a little bit about this new network.
The name of the network is Houston Nerd Casting Collective. HNCC, if you like them short. What that means.
Don't make faces at it. America can't see the face. He's like, HNCC, if you like him short. Wink. Jazz hands.
Yep. Then there's a couple pistols in the sky kind of thing. Bang, bang. Anyway, so that's our thing. It's a new network that I put together. We're announcing it and launching it now.
Yeah.
And we're going to be us, so it's going to be the Warpod.
Metal Geeks,
and then
the New Hipster Army.
No, the Real Hipster Army.
The Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but and there's no the. It's just real Hipster Army.
Real.
Hair on the puberty pod. Real Hipster Army is also going to be joining us.
Yeah, and I am making no exception just because they are. Friends, but I think that name is awful. But they have a great podcast, so definitely check them out. Don't let that name scare you away, because they actually do a good podcast.
But Johnny, does that mean we're leaving SCN?
No, it does not. That just means that we are married to somebody else, in addition to being married to them. So,
polygamy?
Yeah, so there's like a little reverse polygamy, actually.
No.
Yeah, because we're married to two separate people.
Reverse polygamy would be not being less than one person.
Anybody half a person, and a quarter person over there.
No, that's still polygamy.
We're all about multiple marriages here. And, Comical Podcast is actually going to be a member as well.
That's confirmed?
Yeah, I actually confirmed it while we were... Right before we got on, actually, on a Facebook thing, I was talking to Justin.
And Comical Podcast is the podcast everyone listens to before they go to bed!
Was that it? Did I miss anybody?
No.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. We're just going to run with that?
What? The stuff that you say?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I just ignore things you sing.
Everybody
now.
Listens to the Comical Podcast before they go to bed?
Sure. All
right.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
it's a good thing to go to bed to.
Be sure to check out Comical Podcast every night with your glass of milk and your, umpteenth viewing of The Rocketeer.
Or, in Johnny's case, watching the first Lord of the Rings every night before you go to bed.
I haven't done that in a while.
Fellowship?
Now I've been watching.
Used to.
Yeah. No, well, then I moved to Two Towers. I did Return of the King for a little bit, but that one's not really good to go to bed to. And then I listen to Parks and Rec.
You know what I thought was really weird about Return of the King?
What?
Okay, remember the part where he goes to go see the king, the dead king? I'm not a big Lord of the Rings. I like the Lord of the Rings, but I'm not big on trivia. And he goes to see the Ghost King.
Oh!
Ghost King.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought I was thinking, for some reason I had a grave site in my head.
Yeah, so he goes to go see the Ghost King.
Yeah.
And he asks the Ghost King for help. And the Ghost King is like, if ye be worthy, or something like that. And then skulls rain down from the sky, and they, in the mountain that they're inside of, and, like, it's like a big to-do, right? And, like, they just have to scramble away, and they barely escape with their lives before they're buried under decaying corpses and skulls. And so they get outside, and like, whoa! That was a close one, and then Ghost King comes out, and he's like, all right, we'll help. Like, why did that happen?
Was that in the book?
I don't know. I haven't got... I just...
Yeah, some of it's in the book.
I'm halfway through Fellowship in the books right now. So why did he dump skulls on them and then be like, all right, I'll give you a hand?
Maybe that was a test.
So he would have helped anybody.
That could have escaped the skulls, yeah.
All you have to do is escape the raining skulls.
Yeah, he was reluctant. I think that's the moral of the story. He was a reluctant. what?
That's an overreaction, I think.
A little bit.
Like, he could have said, I'm an immortal being, let me just think about it.
Yeah, that's not as dramatic.
So we're gonna go ahead and say that is for the sake of drama.
Yes. I think a ghost army is pretty boring in and of itself. I mean,
yeah,
they're
army that can't die.
Yeah, but they're like this, even when they, like, whoever they fight, they kill. They can't die. They're already dead.
Right, but the whole thing of it was, are they going to help? Because they didn't have to.
Right, and that's the only way that
they should have had to go on like a Mystic Quest in order to, like, in order.
But, you realize a 3.5 hour movie to go another hour because they had to go on a quest?
Another movie.
That did seem to be like the entire point of all of the movies, is that they can't do anything on their own, so someone has to help.
Yeah.
Like, every movie, someone has to help them.
It's a lesson in friendship.
I guess so.
Well, and honestly, that's exactly...
And it was usually the eagles. Every movie.
Yeah.
And, like, The Hobbit, the eagles.
The elves.
Had to save
the elves
helped. The elves would help. But it was like, we could take them. Here's a ghost army, so you can take them, because you're going to die.
So what else is on the agenda?
Nothing. We're done here.
All right.
That's it?
No. There's a new thing. There's a new thing that we're doing, along with rolling out this brand new network.
Zach's doing a lot of touching.
Yeah. We're also going to start doing giveaways! And what's our giveaway this week, Johnny?
We have a Katie Cook original comic called Gronk, which is based on her webcomic. And these are signed. We actually have a few of them to give away.
How many do we have to give away? How many people can win?
This week, let's do three.
Three? Are we going to have more later?
Yeah.
So one later?
We only have four?
I thought.
No, we have more than that.
How many do we have? Because they...
Five.
Let's do five then.
No.
Why? We're gonna do another special Gronk giveaway.
I want to give away some later.
Okay, fine. We'll do three.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first three people to message us on Twitter at Warlocks Brew #Gronk.
#Gronk, and you have to say how awesome Katie Cook is.
Yeah, is gonna get a signed issue of Gronk, of course, signed by our artist and author Katie Cook.
Yeah.
So don't forget to check us out on Twitter, and then don't forget to check us out on YouTube, and then don't forget to check us out on Facebook, and then don't forget to check us out in the bushes.
We could be there.
I probably will be there.
Yeah.
Giveaways! All right, on top of giveaways, on top of all the exciting things that are going on today, it's also...
You're in the bushes!
It's also E3 season.
Well, it's no, that season, E3 season is over. This is post E3.
Right. It's E3 season for internet content providers.
Yes.
Because now that all the E3 stuff's out, now we get to work.
Right. We're working and trying to grab your attention along and competing with everybody else who's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So you gotta be careful because people will come up with all kinds of stupid shit to get your attention.
You gotta be
like,
cool.
People are gonna make Fallout 4. Fan websites that look official and you get used talking about Fallout 4 and then prompt the actual Bethesda to react and put out Fallout 4 content pre-E3.
Did that happen?
That actually happened.
Okay, so run me through it again?
So there was fan-made websites. There was one in particular that got everybody's attention. It was a countdown. And it said, please stand by.
Marlon, give me a sippy drink.
And,
this one? Yes.
Is it yours? Yes.
Okay. So I'm just... To keep it short, so essentially what he did was he kind of coaxed a reaction out of the Fallout guys, you know, Bethesda, and they actually did release their own website that was kind of almost like based off of his website. It was the same type of thing, countdown.
And as a result, okay, so he prompted them
to react,
and they released what?
They released their website and then had a countdown, and then was the countdown
to announce
for E3?
Fallout 4. No, it was pre-E3.
Yeah, what did they announce?
Fallout 4.
They just said Fallout 4. That's right.
They just said Fallout 4.
They announced...
Basically, it was an announcement to say Fallout 4 was coming to E3, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a whole bunch of stuff, but it was interesting to watch because people, without Bethesda even doing anything, everybody just started going apeshit about Fallout 4, and there's all these other fan sites that that started up. And people were thinking that, oh, is this one real? Is this one real? And it kept going on. It went on for a while. But it got people talking about Fallout 4, which made the release and the announcement that much bigger. So I guess naturally we can talk about Fallout 4 now.
Well, actually, that brings us to our new segment.
Yeah?
Yep. Marlon's Bethesda Corner!
Yay! No.
What are we calling it?
It's Marlon's Bethesda Corner.
It's Marlon's Morrowind.
We're doing what?
No, Marlon.
I never agreed to this.
You're doing... No, it's a segment. Marlon, it may not happen very often, but it's a segment.
Talk okay. about Fallout 4.
All right, so I was playing Morrowind the other day.
No. Oh.
So I was playing Morrowind the other day.
So I was playing Fallout 4 the other day? I don't think that happened.
And Fallout... What did I say? 4. Did I say Morrowind 4?
No, you said and Fallout. You said I was playing Morrowind the
other
day.
Right, I was trying to do the thing. You're like, I was playing Morrowind the other day.
Yeah. No, that's an inside joke with you too.
We're trying to bring in everybody else. It has to start somewhere.
It started somewhere. Let's go. All right, so Fallout 4. Yeah, excited. Really want to play.
Are you excited, Marlon?
Yes.
Are you sure?
If I can get a collector's edition, I'll be super excited.
Which is super hard to get.
Yes.
We were talking about this before.
Could have got it last night at 12:30, but I didn't want to go to. I didn't want
to
go
to Best Buy.
Yeah.
And that's because you want
not Best Buy.
All right, the collector's edition. If you're unaware, I can't see how you're unaware.
I didn't know till today.
Oh, there you go. He was unaware. So therefore, there are people who are unaware.
Yeah, so...
The Warpod is my number one news source.
So, for $150, you can get...
$120, I think.
Is it just $120?
It's like $120.
Either way, $100-something, you can get a Pip-Boy Collector's Edition of Fallout 4, which includes an actual Pip-Boy that... Hold on, let me phrase that correctly.
It's a replica.
It's a replica, but right, but
it's a phone case.
Yeah, it's a technically it's a fancy phone case you put on your wrist. All the heavy lifting of the application, of course, is done with your phone. And you can of course use that second screen or third screen experience. What do they call it?
Second screen.
Is it second screen? Where did I get third from?
You know, you have two phones. Too far in the future. Tablet. You're too far in the future.
You're Johnny Two Phone Jackson.
You got it from Caesar and his 8 screens that he wants.
I'm gonna get 4. I installed a bunch of those over the. Last couple days. And it's really badass. It's 4, it has a big stand. Anyway, so Fallout 4, Pip-Boy, the phone case. So there's a second screen experience that happens while you're playing Fallout 4.
It can happen.
If you have the app on and a phone that can, you know, your old flip phone's not going to work. But anyway, so...
It's almost sounded like a dig. Your little flip phone's not going to work. This isn't your grandma's Fallout 4.
Nope. Anyway, it's something that I've always like. I remember when Fallout 3 came out, and you could, these special editions keep getting weirder and bigger and ridiculous. Like, what was it, Black Ops or something like that had the night vision goggles?
An RC car in one.
Yeah, when that stuff started rolling out, and the stupid Elder Scrolls stuff, which I have 2 of them of. I have the one that came with the Elder Scrolls Online, and then the. Skyrim one, the giant dragon.
You also
dragon.
Have the Batarang.
I do have the Batarang.
And it does not function.
And it's plastic.
The Batarang was always a shuriken. It never came back.
Yeah.
But so, it doesn't function. If you throw it, it's just going to go.
No, I'm saying, wasn't this one attached to the stand?
It's not aerodynamic. You have to throw it with some force.
The one that came with that one, which one was that?
The Collector's Edition.
Arkham City? Arkham...
One of them.
Yeah, whatever, the Batman games.
Arkham Knight.
No, it hadn't come out yet. But anyway, yeah, it's attached to the stand. I can't throw it.
You still throw it.
I can still throw it, technically.
Yeah.
It's not very effective.
It's also, like, this big. And...
Yeah, anyway...
Batman had batarangs that size. They fold out.
Yeah, they do. And they do return if you're the Batman from 1989. Is that right?
86? I also remember 88? Them returning in the animated series. He would throw them and hit like 2 or 3
Because they were electronic and they could fly.
Right.
Unaided. Okay. That was a tangent. When they started coming out with all these different collector's editions, they were in excess of $100. My first thought was Fallout is going to put a Pip-Boy in one of these goddamn things. And it's finally happening. And I'm really excited about it. And I want one. And I'm hoping that they release more of them because I can't afford one right now. So I'm hoping they...
They'll sell peripheral.
I hope so.
Anyway. I know that I'm gonna get one. I probably will not get Fallout 4, just because I'm not a fan of the series. But I'll probably get a Pip-Boy, just because I always thought the phone on the wrist was a better idea.
Yeah, and why are you not a fan of Fallout?
Well, I explained this on the last Warpod. Just the whole, I get the open RPG thing, but I don't know. For me, RPG has always been a fantasy thing, not a sci-fi thing, and I'm not a big post-apocalyptic guy in the first place. It's just I don't know. There are several aspects of this franchise that just don't do it for me.
Okay.
I like Elder Scrolls stuff.
Yeah, well,
That all makes perfect sense. And the other thing that I touched on was that in a high fantasy setting, because you have a weapons, melee ranged and magic abilities, like the open RPG style seems more robust and relevant.
Okay.
As a result.
Yeah, I was hoping. Yeah. Okay.
What?
You're hoping
what?
I stopped myself because I thought it sounded really weird. What I was going to say was I hope you weren't going to go into an explanation that long. I wanted you to say something.
How far are we into the podcast?
You know.
Are we really on the back burner here? Do we not need my content?
No. Yeah.
We're 20 minutes in?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. Okay. I wanted you to say something just so I could tell you that your opinion was invalid.
Yeah. Nobody's opinion matters to Johnny. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. It's invalid to him.
So, anyway.
If you agree, completely valid to him.
Okay, when we do wrap up Fallout 4, we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Real quick, though, when I saw that they're adding this big thing about how you can customize your building that you live in, you can create a little area in which you can live and other people can come live.
And your weaponry, which is by far going to be the more fun aspect.
Yes. Absolutely. I
should say, Captain J is a fan of the series, so I'm going to wind up playing this game.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to get it.
Right. You're going to be the old grandpa playing, yeah. But immediately when I saw that, I thought of Marlon, because Marlon he goes to the extreme usually when it comes to customizing and kind of building things. Like, there is going to be a big war game eventually of when we're going to go into Minecraft and look at what Marlon's built in Minecraft. It's pretty incredible. But anyway,
by the way, you know what else I want to do?
What?
I want to do a Let's Create where we build levels in Project Spark for one another.
Okay.
I think
that'd be a lot of fun. So Marlon, what are your thoughts on that part, that new part of the game?
On the construction?
Yeah.
Either I'm going to use it or I'm not. That's the truth. Because it's either gonna consume a lot of my time and I'm gonna build something, or I'm gonna be like, this is a lot to learn and I'm just not gonna scoop it.
It's probably gonna be the former.
Probably.
Because it doesn't look complicated.
It doesn't look complicated, and I don't know.
You're gonna do it. I know you well enough that you're gonna do it.
I will say that on the customization thing that you When they were announcing it at E3, the guy with the weedy voice, I can't think of his name.
His last name is Howard.
Todd Howard.
Yeah, when he was announcing it, he was like, you'll get a chance to rebuild. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So you get a chance to put in your own infrastructure and maybe, you know, make it a nicer place to live. And it's like all the customization options are like rusted tin and like half-hearted lattice work.
It's basically like allowing you to mod the game in the game.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, because people will go in with the mods and they'll build cities, but it's like, it's not, you're going out there and chopping a bunch of trees and creating a brand new house. You're basically shantytowning it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted you to be able to, like, help rebuild society.
That would be a completely different game.
just for your edification, you know.
You're basically trying to tower defense it.
But it would make a really weird aesthetic, because they want to keep it looking like Fallout.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You got to keep that rundown post-apocalyptic look on.
I don't think there's anything wrong with juxtaposition here.
Okay.
I am excited about weapon customization.
Weapon customization, yes.
Yeah, it looked pretty sick.
That I will use.
Anyway, let's move on to the next game. What's your final thought on the game, Zach?
It will be played.
Marlon.
I'm probably going to love it.
I'm going to touch myself while playing it.
You shouldn't do that.
All right, next.
Here it makes sticky controllers.
Going with another Bethesda IP, Doom. This game looks fucking awesome. What I've been reading about it since E3 is that it's going to be hard as shit.
Oh, wait. That ends Marlon's Bethesda corner.
Oh, yeah. So, but Doom...
You could not have wished for a more meteoric... meteoric release to Marlon's Bethesda.
Why don't you go ahead and go in there and cut that part that I set out, and then go in there and put another Marlon's Bethesda corner. Yay! And then start Johnny's Doom conversation.
Not only am I going to do that, I'm also not going to make any of the other cuts. So they're going to hear the edit that I put in, and then your explanation. And this one.
That's nice. Fun. I like uncut stuff.
So anyway, Doom. Doom was one of the first games I ever owned on Super Nintendo. And so this game is very special to me. When they started playing this game, and the first time they go through it, like they were doing a demo or whatever, the first time they go through a door, that sound, that classic sound of the door going up, I think something happened in my pants. Like, it was...
Sticking controllers.
Yeah.
That's why Microsoft's got that new audio jack.
Anyway, I don't know what you guys thought, but I absolutely loved it.
I've never been a Doom fan because I never played it. In fact, the only time I played it, I think, was against you when you beat the crap out of me. So, but I mean, you know, Doom, I know a lot of people like it. I never have played it.
It's fucking classic. That's what it is.
I
didn't actually see anything about it either.
Yeah, I didn't see the new E3 thing. I was a big fan of Doom 3. I really enjoyed that game.
Yeah, and this is nothing like that.
Okay, so they're getting away from survival horror.
It's fast-paced, demons in your face, and apparently they move about the map independently, so they're not going to be always be in the same spot, you know, when you go through each level. Now, I'm sure the timing, if you time it the same way, then yeah, they're going to be in the same spot. But yeah.
So I spawn in one area, and the AI decides which way to go. So they could be in different directions every time.
And the demons were varied. There were some that seemed kind of classic, but definitely different. Everything looked different. And it just looked badass. And then there's actually, they show you the first demo, they talk about it, and they show you another brief demo where actually you go to hell, and you fight demons in hell. And it's just, visually, it looks very cool. A lot of, like I said, varied demons. Some are, you know, stand still, they're big brutes, they don't move very fast, but they shoot you with really big missiles or whatever it is. And then you have the really quick ones, and then, of course, there's actually ones that are, like, three stories high. That's just really, it was all awesome.
Is this going to be as, like, unapologetically metal as the original Dooms were, where they would just do anything to be...
It seems that way, yes.
Yeah, anything to be outrageous.
Mm-hmm. And they added some mobility to the character that you are playing. So you can actually jump. There's a double jump. You can climb up walls and stuff. The double jump I heard them mention it, but I didn't notice it when they were playing the demo.
Are you a glidey man like you were in the original one?
No. What do you mean, glidey man?
Oh, like you flew everywhere.
Oh, yeah, but you didn't. But you also didn't go off of... You were on that same plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. You very rarely even went up steps in that game. But anyway.
Do you get to see your face down at the bottom? Were you looking around?
No. I think they made it... You know, Marlon's making the look that the guy in the original Doom, every time he looks like he got more blood on his face. That's a nice sound, but I like that one. We should use that. Anyway, that's all I got to say about Doom, actually. All I was going to say was, it looks like before we started this podcast, we were talking about Halo 5 a little bit, and you actually see the outline of your visor. I think it's like that. Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think you see a little bit of your visor.
Doom guy doesn't wear a visor.
Yeah, he wears a helmet.
Oh, well, that's in the box art. You see his in the game. You see his face. And there's no.
But I think he's supposed to have a helmet on.
Because there was later versions of Doom like that had multiplayer, and when you approached him, he was wearing the helmet. You just always remember seeing a face because there's always his face in the bottom of the corner of the screen
to let you know if he's getting hurt. Yeah.
Mm. All right, fine. Mm.
So Doom, looking forward to it. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
I mean, you brought it up. Halo 5 Guardians.
Halo 5 Guardians.
Okay. And we just watched the, it was like the press conference teaser gameplay event. What I'm really happy about, and something that was happening more this E3 than it was last E3, is that they're actually showing a lot of gameplay. Like, that's exactly what we got out of Fallout was, well, of course, Fallout isn't like...
Well, we're getting it this year, aren't we?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, things that you're getting this year, you're going to get a lot of gameplay.
Right. But
that's usually how it works.
No parkas.
No parkas. But no, they did a really good gameplay segment where they just you watched them go through the level and everything was fun and Nathan Fillion was there.
Nathan Fillion is in the game, and what I find really awesome about this particular Halo, and I feel like it's been a definite obvious change since 343 took over the Halo franchise, is there's more depth to the stories and the direction in which you will go through the game. In this one, you're hunting Master Chief, which I find interesting.
I'll agree with you. With Halo 4, the story was definitely better.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily think the multi... I think everything else they did was
possibly worse. I remember this complaint from you, and we couldn't figure out...
I hated the map designs in Halo 4.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let you play them all.
Yeah, and I hated the lag. The lag was always there for me.
Yeah, and because I remember I was trying to troubleshoot this, because we were trying to figure out why you kept getting lag, and it wasn't your internet connection. It was not the hardware.
Everyone was getting lag.
Everybody was getting. That's why we stopped playing it together.
I think 343 did a great job with the single player, but I think with that and then with the Master Chief Collection, they just completely did a terrible job.
Another thing that really irked me about the multiplayer was the lack of the maps, because there were maps available.
Yeah.
That came with the game. They would not let you play them online.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was stupid. But anyway. Overall, we agree that at least the single-player campaign is better because of 343.
The Halo 4 single-player campaign was really good.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
It looked really nice.
Okay, but the thing is that...
Go ahead.
I'm not a big Halo fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the first one. I played it when I was a kid. But is the single-player important to Halo fans?
I say more than a lot of other first-person shooters.
Most
yes.
people, yeah, will play the single player, the campaign at least once. Try to do it on Legendary, or they'll do co-op, and then they jump straight into the multiplayer. I think technically, yes, everyone spends a lot more time on the multiplayer. So that
yeah, because co-op is very important to the Halo franchise and its history. And that's the first time I ever played through it. I did a sleepover at a friend's house, and we played through the entire thing in one evening. And it was one of the most memorable...
Magical?
I was going to say one of the most memorable Halo moments.
We gave you Jim Jams?
What?
You have slutty Jim Jams?
No. No, 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 no.
I'm sorry, go on.
Do you really... You really want... You want some imagery to go along with that sleepover thing. But anyway, so I think it's going to be good, but... Whatever. I mean we'll see.
If the multiplayer is less buggy, it'll be great.
Right.
I hated Halo. I played a lot of Halo 4, and eventually the lag is what destroyed it for me. I just couldn't get over the lag.
What I like that they're integrating is more robust platforming, because they have like the little jet boost that you can do in jumps. Mm-hmm. Where you're jumping a gap, and your character can't quite make it, but if you know where to do your jet at the same time.
Yeah, they have that centered.
Did they? Like I said, not a big deal.
in Reach, there was an entire level where the jet, you couldn't make it if you mistimed your jetpack.
Okay.
You would be jumping a bunch of little platforms, and if you mistimed it, you would just fall off and die after you tried.
Yeah, but you don't always have the jetpack. That's supposed to be an armor ability that you pick
yeah,
up.
In the game, it would give it to you. It's like, you need the jetpack here, so go use it.
Yeah. Okay, so Halo 5 looks like we're really looking forward to what that is going
to
be.
I'm looking forward to it. I just hope they
Zach, screw it up. Pick a game.
I don't want to talk about The Division, so let's talk about Yoshi's Woolly World.
All right.
Yeah. Now it's time for Zach's Nintendo Corner.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
We're gonna do
Zach's Nintendo.
You should probably intro that again without hitting the table that a mic is standing on.
This is good.
Zach's Nintendo Corner.
There you go.
I don't need a bunch of, like, buff guys to say that one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh. Nintendo Corner.
Yeah, Zach's Nintendo Corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, all that's being left in. No, so Nintendo once again had their digital event. Johnny.
Yes?
Johnny...
He's the least interested in all this.
No, Johnny doesn't buy that Nintendo...
Johnny doesn't like good games.
It's a lesser company?
No, you told me that you didn't buy that they do digital events instead of press conferences because lots of their developers don't speak English very well.
Right.
Right, you said that it's because they don't have, like, the money and resources.
Yes, they're a lesser company, and a big press conference would look sad if they did one like that.
Right, but they had, like, a big lineup of games. And that
wasn't that big.
It's pretty big.
And there's never any third-party shit.
That's true. One thing that I said last week is that I was cautiously optimistic about them talking about third-party, which is exactly what they said they were going to do, was partnerships. And their big partnership for E3, was actually Skylanders.
Yeah.
That was their big partnership. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, if you're less than 13 years old.
Okay, lots of gamers are.
Yeah.
Yep. We're not.
Nobody
in this room.
It is a big deal that will make them a lot of money.
Which is good. Good for them. I agree.
Also, Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe for E3, why they're not doing it and why, in your opinion, it may look sad is because at E3... their audience doesn't show up to E3. Like, you generally don't, at least...
Oh, because they're younger?
Yeah. Yeah, they're target
or
audience.
In Japan, or...
Yeah. Like, they're just not there.
Yeah, well, I guess. I guess there's an argument to me, and then probably their target market is younger.
Yeah.
But they have been losing, just in general, losing the last couple of years, mm-hmm. As far as the big three gaming companies go. Console companies.
That being said, I'm pretty excited, if only because Star Fox Zero is showing up to this one.
Which, yes, that I'm optimistic that that's going to do well for them, mm-hmm. To be honest. But my first immediate reaction when I saw it on the screen when we watched it earlier was I was surprised at how much it looked like the last Star Fox we played. Like, you know what I mean?
Like 64?
Yeah.
Oh, are you talking about Assault?
Yeah, it just seemed old to me.
Well, that's because they showed a lot of segments in the game that are going to be, and at least what you saw, because you saw a little bit of a clip show as you were going through it. There definitely are updated graphics, and most of what you saw looked like a rail shooter, but the thing is that if you're on a forward path, that path can be slowed down to a crawl because you can go into chicken walker mode and you can go into helicopter mode and you can go into landmaster mode all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be a lot of time for you to actually slow down in these levels and actually explore. And that's what I'm looking forward to in the Star Fox.
Sure.
Is there to be not only a chance to explore, but also have the run and gun that we liked. And really, the fact that it looks as classic as it does is why I'm optimistic. Because you are going to be playing Star Fox again.
Right.
And that's what I've been wanting to do for years.
Right.
Yeah, something a lot of people would look forward to. It's not them going and saying, we're making a Star Fox and we're going to make it look like Metroid or something else.
Yeah.
It looks like Star Fox.
Which, by the way, is exactly the reason that I'm not excited about Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Okay.
First, it's a DS release, which I just get more excited about big console things. I really would have preferred Majora's Mask HD or Majora's Mask 3D to have been on Wii U.
Yeah.
but also, it doesn't feel like a Metroid game because you're not Samus. You're running around as these four people and who fire at things, and it's like, why is Metroid Prime tagged onto this whatsoever? I was confused by it.
Yeah.
I don't see enough of it. In fact, I think I saw like a 10-second clip when Johnny was skipping through it.
Now,
so, who knows?
As we were watching the Nintendo thing, I saw when we were watching Mario Maker, you, Johnny, specifically,
yes,
became 8 years old again. I saw real joy on your face. And, like, I think that's a little bit of the magic with Nintendo because, you know, Super Mario Maker, they've been talking about it for a while. And as you two were watching exactly all the things you could do, the skins you could use and stuff like that, like, you're not a big Nintendo fan. And you were still having fun watching this.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has. I'm not going to speak for everybody. A lot of gamers have fond memories of just Mario stuff. Because Mario is awesome. I mean, it's classic. It's super nostalgia. And yeah, and I have to this day, like most games that I don't beat, that doesn't bother me that much. But I have never beaten original Mario. I've never beaten Mario 3. The first game I ever beat was a Mario game, though, and that was Super Mario World. That was fairly easy to beat, I think.
I guess I'm going to have to go back and beat Mario 3.
Yeah.
I've never beaten it.
It's hard as hell. I had a lot of trouble. I tried for a very long time, and I made it to the last world, and that last world just kicked my ass.
I think I beat it, like, 3 years ago for the first time.
Yeah.
That was a Christmas event in which we stayed up all Christmas just trying to beat it.
Yeah. Those games, my point of it was that those games bother me that I haven't beaten them. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's something I haven't, that's a merit badge I don't have.
It's like a gaming tutorial.
Yeah.
Which is backwards, in my opinion, because tutorials are such a large part of gaming culture right now. Like, we're actually going to do a Let's Play on Master Chief Collection here in a little bit, and I was brushing up, and I was kicking myself because I went to Halo 1 and I started on Mission 1.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, they're going to make me do that thing where I have to look at all the stuff again.
See if you're inverted or not.
Yeah, and they were, and they cut it.
Actually,
everybody knows how to do it now. And I was so relieved that there wasn't a tutorial in a game.
They did a weird thing with that because I think you only have to do that once ever. Because I think if you load the original in an original Xbox, if you've done it before, they don't make you do it again.
Probably for your pause.
I did it once.
Halo 2,
ever.
I think, always
I
made
did
you
several
do it.
Times.
I think Halo 2 always made
I
you
I did something weird. I think there's whatever. But yeah, I understand what you mean, though. Yeah.
But it was, in my opinion, it was always an inverted thing. Like, if you were supposed to look up and you looked down, it would be like, do you want to be inverted?
Mm-hmm.
I think they were just trying to get you used to, because
well, it was never looking left and right.
It was.
Well, yeah, it did. It did in Halo 2. In Halo 1, I think it was only up and down. Halo 2, you wanted to look up, and then you look down, and then you look at the little light on the left and light on the right.
But of course, you can invert x-axis as well if you're psychotic.
Well, no, but the real reason is that cryogenic freezing is actually can be disorienting.
Oh, shut your mouth! Hold on,
you just gotta get your bearings. And now we're back. Okay, I'm just checking. I'll make sure it's recording.
All right, so we were talking about...
Well, we were talking
now
about...
Now that everybody's had a piss break.
Safety.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
Well, no, we were actually talking about... we were talking about Halo for a second, and...
Oh, yeah, because we were...
Marlon, you wanted to bring up the fact that you didn't like Microsoft's show.
We're not going there yet. You were still doing the Yoshi...
I don't care.
Yoshi, he's fuzzy. Next.
Huh? Yeah, Yoshi's Woolly World actually looks like fun, and even you said that, and you hate stuff like that.
Generally, yes.
Yeah, because that's the cutesiest game possible.
Yeah, but I also wanted to play... Kirby had a yarn game.
Yeah.
Kirby had a yarn game.
Johnny's a big Kirby fan.
It's weird, because... I was a reverse... How should I put this? Kirby...
Reverse-engineered.
Yeah, I reverse-engineered Kirby, right? Found out it's just a marshmallow. Nothing special. Mm-hmm. And fairy dust. Game over.
Something you should know is why I'm saying that Johnny would hate Woolly World and stuff like that is because Johnny, like, literally hates fairies. Like,
that sounds like you don't like gay people.
You don't!
strike that from the record.
Well, no, like, you take great lengths to, develop this image of yourself of being metal and manly, and I brew beer, and my favorite superhero is Batman, and I have absolutely no time for your Peter Pan fairy time peanut butter sandwich.
I don't like peanut butter.
I know.
Peanut butter sucks.
I like salt sandwiches. Salt sandwiches with
and sandpaper.
Throw the hottest peppers you can.
I don't feel like I'm trying to make myself out to be more macho. I just am more macho.
Shut
I'm
up.
Sorry.
Except when you're watching the Nintendo digital event.
That's my weakness. Yeah. That's my kryptonite.
And you're like, oh, he can poop the yarn.
How cute.
I think it looked... It reminded me a little more of, like, the Yoshi's Island games and stuff like
yeah.
that. Like, the Super Mario World.
Well, they're all modeled after that one. They all have the eat a thing, poop an egg, throw it.
Yeah, I well, just to finish my macho segment. no, what
he's
I was,
not done machoing yet.
I'm kidding. But what I was going to say was, for me, I'm not a big side-scroller fan, generally. But when they do something a little different, it does pique my interest. And I think that's what this game did. It does look interesting.
I love the four-player Super Mario Wii games.
Yeah, I like those too.
Those were a lot of, the Wii and the Wii U, those games were a lot of fun, especially when you threw people off the mat. Who's going to survive
because
you piss each other off?
Love me some co-op.
Especially when you can kill each other.
Yeah. I very rarely bring my platforms over to friends' houses. I've traveled with my Wii three times in order to show people Super Mario Divorce. I absolutely love those games.
Which is not the official title.
Yes, it is.
we beat that game, and I just remember the first one, Super Mario World Wii.
New Super Mario Brothers is the first one,
okay.
But that was for DS.
No, the one for the Wii.
New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yes, that was the one where we spent all four of us. It was me and my cousins, and we just run around throwing each other off the map, trying to beat the level, which is the hardest thing to do, unless only one person survives.
So what we were trying to get to, and hopefully we can try this again, hopefully Marlon doesn't deflect again. So Marlon, you didn't like the Microsoft press conference.
I didn't see the Microsoft press conference, but you said that all that was on there essentially was backwards compatibility and the what'd you call it?
HoloLens.
Okay, so
and I'm like, that sounds like the lamest conference ever. If that was their biggest thing, is holy crap, we're having backwards compatibility, which I like, don't get me wrong, but that doesn't make a conference.
Okay, so there's a caveat here. You don't like Johnny's rendition of it.
No, he didn't like the content that I mentioned.
Yeah.
If he believes me, he doesn't like what was presented.
You know they're releasing a new Conker, right?
Yes. I know that.
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Mario likes Conker.
Yeah, and they were talking about it at E3 and they had a playable demo.
Yeah, but the Conker is Project Spark.
No, it's not a Project Spark.
Oh, that's what it was last year.
Yeah, I'm talking this year.
Yeah, I mean, I like Conker. I'm just saying that if that's their two biggest things, is HoloLens and backwards compatibility.
No, and Conker.
So they showed one game and two things that
And the teaser trailer for Mass Effect 4.
Don't give a shit about that. Especially if something's 2 years down the road. What the hell? No. I might be dead in that time.
The new Conker and the new Banjo 3E are all going to be ready this year.
Okay. That's fine.
Banjo?
Yeah.
I know Banjo. The Banjo game is supposed to be coming out soon.
So that's a pretty big show.
With two games and...
I just think
that if you're going to devote an hour to mentioning stuff in the biggest thing...
Well, there was gameplay for both of them.
Well, let me ask you this.
By the way, neither of those things happened.
Oh, you're such a dick, Zach.
First of all, I told you I didn't watch it. And second, first of all, I know that Conker is going to be a Project Spark.
I just love that you were like, yeah, I know. Yeah,
I mean, I heard about Banjo, but what I'm saying is, I know that they're doing the Conker. I've seen that.
There's no Banjo stuff.
I don't give a shit about Banjo Kazooie? I don't give a shit about Banjo.
Okay.
I told you I also don't care about Mass Effect. I never played them, but something that's 2 years down the road, I also don't care.
Okay. Let's get to the brass tacks, though. But what do you think about the backwards compatibility? How big of a deal is it?
It's okay, but I don't think it's a conference maker.
Okay.
I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, you're talking about how Nintendo didn't have the content to have their own conference, and Microsoft had backwards compatibility in HoloLens.
Right.
And Nintendo had
a bunch of games.
Yeah, a lot of games.
No,
I would rather see a Nintendo conference with a bunch of games versus a Microsoft conference where they're like, backwards compatibility!
No, my argument against Nintendo is not the number of games that they have. I feel like they're losing... the game
I don't give a shit about losing and winning. That's all stupid, irrelevant. We're all gamers. Why don't we all just get along? The fact that people have to, my console's better than yours. Who gives a fuck? You're making both consoles worse by saying that.
Why that matters is if Nintendo isn't making money, then they might accidentally go the way of Sega.
But yeah,
if that happens, it would be an incredible blow to the industry.
Right. For me, it's a viability thing, and the viability of the company, the strength of the company is weakened, and I'm concerned about it. It's and I'm not saying I'm trying to rub it in Nintendo's face that they're losing. I'm frustrated by it because they were such a powerhouse for so long. So it's a concern that they actually are not doing as well as.
But showing a bunch of games, I think, could make a better conference versus telling people that. the same, you know, that showing them something you've been showing them for a couple years now, HoloLens. You've been talking about it, hinting at it, and you still don't know exactly what you're doing with it.
Nah, it's been less than a year. They announced it only a few months ago.
I thought they announced it last year.
Mm-hmm. No.
There was...
No, I've seen that before.
I don't doubt it. But they didn't come out with a thing that you could look at until six, seven months ago.
They had something. They've had something similar to that in the Lego store for a long time.
Which is not Microsoft.
Right. So they're showing a old technology to us, and they're like, "But this time it's Microsoft."
But my concern with that is it like everything else? You know, Sony's been talking about Morpheus, and you know, you have the other headgear shit and stuff. Is any of that going to matter? So why is that a big deal if they could all be just something like the Kinect and the other motion sensors that everyone's been trying to go with?
The thing about the Kinect is that everybody was skeptical about it, and then, you know...
Yeah, but they did it, and Sony did their own version, and one gave a shit about either of them.
Well, that was a reaction to the Wii.
Yes.
Because everybody loved the
Wii. And it didn't do shit, so why are we expecting... I mean, you have Oculus Rift, so why are Sony and Microsoft going to make their own thing versions of it if they didn't learn from the Wii mistake?
Because people do like this thing. They're actively modding it, backing it on crowdfunding and stuff like that. People do like this.
Hardware innovation is important for E3. I don't think there's anything. So hardware we've seen that was successful, that was important to E3, is Guitar Hero stuff. Yes. The Wii. The original Wii was a big deal. Now, unfortunately, that fell off very quickly, too. It's record-breaking how well the system did for a long time, but then it completely just fell off. Partly, I think, is because of the Wii U, and I think that was poorly executed and poorly thought out. I think that was rushed. But anyway, so the hardware is important. Like I said, the Guitar Hero stuff was a big deal. And it's weird, and it has a weird history because that stuff can be wildly successful. At the same time, we've seen it be a really weird attach rate as far as people actually sticking to it, like actually liking it and continuing to like it for a long time.
Yeah, because Guitar Hero fell off pretty fast.
It did, and they're trying to bring it back.
Yeah, they are trying to bring it back.
And I always loved it. I was confused to why that fell off so quickly, but people just get bored with stuff.
Yeah, I think in a world where we have the technology to make things like Rocksmith accessible, that, you know, rhythm games have had their day.
Yeah.
But I do agree that people get way too bored with things nowadays. Like, you know, we would play GoldenEye for years.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you got to have a new Call of Duty every year. Or you finish playing with it after 3 or 4 months because the next game comes out,
And it's part of the way the industry is.
It is over flooded with the same game and with a different look.
And of course, that has a lot to do with money because it's a money grab to do that every year. Assassin's Creed needs to stop doing it, please.
Another example.
I like the Assassin's Creed games.
Not every year, though.
People getting bored with stuff. This conversation.
Well, yeah.
Dang! Warpod Def Jam!
Oh, shit.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
What's another game we were going to talk about from E3?
Oh, Xenoblade Chronicles.
That's not on my list.
It's super kawaii.
Actually, can we hit Sony first?
Yeah, we can hit Sony.
Wait, that was at the Sony
right,
press
the
conference,
Grundle.
Wasn't it?
Huh?
Xenoblade was at the Sony press conference, wasn't it?
No, that's Nintendo again.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to play the game.
Xenoblade Chronicles? It looks fun. Yeah.
And Sony.
Xenoblade, there's a new one coming out, right?
Yeah, that's Xenoblade
Chronicles. It looks like a good game.
So I want the big one at Sony that made a big splash, and I wrote on my notes when I was writing my notes down. I wrote stupid Final Fantasy VII, because that's just personal bias.
Yeah,
I understand people are excited about that, but again, it's a remake. Do you need to spend a lot of time talking about a remake?
I mean, they did last year with Grim Fandango,
which I still don't understand. But nostalgia is a big seller for people, obviously. People get really, what do they call it, looking through nostalgia goggles?
Through Google Glass.
Oh.
Is what they say.
Is that what they say?
Yes.
Is that the new trendy term?
Remember? Oh, that's nostalgic for me because there was a series of Warpods where you wanted to talk about Google Glass so bad. And I had to break it to you that nobody cares.
About Google Glass?
Just like nobody cares. Just like the fat... It is in reference to the fact that nobody cares about things that we're talking about PS Vita right now.
Oh.
Nope, yeah, nobody's
well, that's
talking
been,
about that.
That's been something that they've needed to get rid of for a while, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does
they just,
not...
Sony needs to just quit with the handhelds, because they're never that... I guess the PSP was okay, and that was it.
It's just, Nintendo has the market.
Yeah.
They just... And they're not going to let go.
What were we just talking... Final Fantasy and stuff.
Fantasy VII Remake. It will exist.
Yeah, something people have been wanting for a long time.
Honestly...
Is it that big of a seller? I mean...
It will.
Is it, like,
it will sell a lot.
I mean, we got a Final Fantasy Remake, that's all you need to know, we win.
I'll tell you this much.
People knew it was eventually going
to come. A Final Fantasy Remake is probably going to be the thing.
It's probably
going to
be better than all... And they could have said Final Fantasy 16. I mean, what are they working on? 15 right now or something? And people have been like, eh, Final Fantasy 7, yay!
What were you saying, sir?
What I was going to say is a modern remake, is probably going to be the thing that actually gets me to play that game.
What? 7?
You've never played before?
Probably.
I played 4 hours, almost exactly. It was at the 4-hour mark where I was done. Because it had a really buggy motorcycle thing, and the sprites the sprites that they were using in Overworld were confusing. You know, it was an unnecessary and strange juxtaposition between the battle sprites and then the in-world sprites.
Yeah,
you know, and then you mix that in with whatever the full motion videos were supposed to look like, and it was odd. And
everybody was making a fist all the time.
Yeah, so you had these weird art assets that I really didn't like, and it really took me out of the game. And so if they cleaned
when did
that,
you play it though?
I think I played that when I was 16.
Okay,
for the first time.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I remember your brother playing it, and he said he hated it because he hated the way it looked. But this was, of course, like 5-6 years after it had come out.
He ended up playing a lot of Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah,
I love IX.
Yeah, he liked IX too. I've never been a big Final Fantasy or JRPG person. I played.
I play them every once in a while.
Yeah.
They're now called Jerpies.
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 Well, I played the Chrono Cross Jerpy.
Yeah, Chrono Cross was fun. Yeah. But I will agree. I can play a JRPG or Jerpy once every year, I think.
Yeah,
That's the most I can
play. It takes a year.
No, I mean, I'm saying I like them to a point, and then I'm like, all right, I don't want to play another one for at least a year.
Yeah, they're exhausting to me. I feel very frustrated because I'm very much an action-oriented
gamer,
so it's like... Anytime story, like a lot of times when I hit like that wall of, you just know it's going to be a crap ton of reading text of these conversations that are happening between the characters, I just turn off. And I'm like, okay, just hit the X button or whatever it is, just get through it. I don't care.
And then you miss the name of the key item.
Yep.
I don't mind that. That doesn't bother me. I hate the combat style where it's like...
Turn-based?
Yeah, turn-based, setting up your actions. And that part, I'm just like... Why do we still doing this? Really?
Well,
okay on the 3DS. Is it okay on the PS4?
Well, it's based on Dungeons and Dragons.
I know it is, but it's not like Dungeons and Dragons where you're gonna run over here and attack this guy. It's more like you're standing still, setting up your attack. What attack you're gonna use?
All right, so I'm calling it. What's your final thought on the Final Fantasy Remake?
No thought.
I'll play it.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I never played it before. I understand that a lot of people have been waiting for this and are excited about it. Sure, because I like Zelda when they remastered.
That was the final thought!
But I can't. My final thought is that who knows?
Okay. So The Last Guardian finally is being made. Because this was years and years ago. This is supposed to be the spiritual...
We're out of time!
No, we're not.
He's just saying that.
What time is it?
No, we're finishing this.
What time is it?
Fuck 30.
Yeah. Last Guardian.
The Last Guardian. This is
the Shadows of Colossus.
Shadows of the Colossus.
I also never played it.
Shadows of the Colossus?
But I heard it was a really good game.
Oh, God. Let's not get into that again.
They're wrong.
I'm glad that we don't have a Jenkins here.
Why? He would argue with that?
He did argue with that.
Okay, look. I don't give a shit about people's opinions because they're different than mine.
Have you not been listening to the Warpod?
No.
Of course he has.
I don't do things.
He doesn't do things at all.
Do you know where you are now?
Marlon doesn't even Facebook.
Yeah. Look, I've never played it. I'm not going to take your opinion that it's a sucky game, and I'm not, because I don't take Johnny's opinion ever. His opinion is wrong, usually, in my opinion, because he likes his one thing. He likes his first-person shooters.
Well,
he's very specific in what he likes, and I like a very, very broad category of things. Like, I like Assassin's Creed. Johnny doesn't like Assassin's Creed at all.
That's not true.
You liked...
That's a lie. That's an outright lie that I don't like Assassin's Creed.
We just don't like certain Assassin's Creeds.
Like what?
Like Unity.
You know this if you listen to the Warpod. We've been into great detail.
How many Assassin's Creed games have you played?
3 or 4.
You played Assassin's Creed 4.
I played the first one.
Did you play the first one?
I didn't finish it, but I played it.
How much?
I got through an hour.
I put at least 5 hours into
it. I like the first one. But it was repetitive.
That's the same complaint everybody has about it.
Yeah, it was repetitive, but it was alright. I liked, but if you're going through them, I know I played every single one of them. I will give Unity in that it is different, and it was buggy and all this stuff. But I don't have any problems with them, but Johnny, he for the longest time wouldn't play him.
No, I tried to play him. Sometimes I just couldn't get my hands on him, because what really excited me about the Assassin's Creed stuff, and you can...
Was the multiplayer.
Exactly. I told you this 1,000 times.
We never played it, but...
Yeah, so I ended up playing a little bit on my own on Black Flag. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. It's fun. That's my favorite part of Assassin's Creed.
The multiplayer is fun, but I like the story. But you're very specific in what you like. Mm-hmm. And I have a very broad category of anything I like. So I've never taken Johnny's opinion. Because
favorite game, disagree a lot. Favorite game franchise, just to get a litmus test on you.
Like an actual favorite,
favorite. The thing that you come back to time and time again.
The ones that I probably played, I would give you a top three of Zelda, Assassin's Creed, and Elder Scrolls.
Okay. See,
but I do like everything. Like. I like turn-based strategy games. I like things like Rome, Total War, stuff like that.
Yeah, Age of Empires.
Age of Empires, I did like.
Mm-hmm. See, I'd probably give you a top three of Zelda, Super Mario, and Borderlands.
Okay.
Didn't like Borderlands? No. Okay, but we have similar-ish tastes.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Shadow of the Colossus sucks.
I would probably enjoy it. I like Prince of Persia.
It's buggy. It's buggy.
Buggies don't bother me, because I understand buggy.
He's probably somewhere in between you and Jenkins.
Think so?
Mm-hmm. But see, I would play it too.
Own unique
The game. Last Guardian, everybody!
I was going to say, that's our conversation on The Last Guardian. Now, I just wanted to say, the game looks fucking awesome.
It looks great.
It looks very polished.
So does Shadow of the Colossus.
Looked
great.
Depending, I guess for its time.
Yeah. For its time, yeah. You gotta give it for its time. You can't say.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. Shadow of the Colossus I had issues with, but it doesn't matter.
I never played it.
I felt it was artsy as fuck.
And maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll play it and give an opinion.
You can get it on the PlayStation Network.
Well, I don't have a PlayStation.
Yeah, you can get it on your butt.
Well, I don't play with my butt very often.
Okay. Sorry. We're revisiting something.
All right.
Gaming related. PlayStation Network.
PlayStation Network.
Zach lied to me because he told me, and the argument between Xbox and PlayStation is that you get a bunch of games for free without having to pay for PlayStation's network stuff.
That's the way it was.
It's a lie.
The last time I checked.
It's not true at all.
I explained it to Johnny and I looked it up and I said, look, Johnny, right here it says you get free games, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Just like the Xbox.
Yeah, that's how you get the free games.
But you didn't tell me that. You said that I can get a bunch of free games
PlayStation Plus or whatever.
No, what you get is the network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The network's free.
Yeah, but you need the PS Plus
to get free games. I never said you get free games.
I'm going to go ahead and say you did. I'm going to go ahead and say, but you have to... we had, during that conversation, because Johnny brought it up, and I was here... And I remember saying, but you have to pay for those. And you were like, no, you don't. You don't have to pay for anything.
My understanding of what you said, my translation was exactly what I just said.
You know what? If we're going to say that I said things, then I'm going to say that I did things. I'm going to say that, Marlon, you agreed to marry 17 watermelons.
Maybe.
Each of which you would put a rubber band on and you would continue to put these rubber bands on them until one of them exploded.
Now, do I keep the one that survives? Am I going until only one survives? Can there be only none?
There can be only none, because that's going to be the entree at the reception.
Okay.
Well, I think this is a video we need to do now. I want to see this watermelon explode.
We need a lot of rubber bands.
It'll take forever.
Yeah. And it,
I want to do it.
But anyway, so PlayStation Plus. you need the PlayStation Plus to have the free games.
Yeah, which... speaking of which, I had a bad experience. I was talking about this before we started recording. And I can't decide if it's a good or a bad... And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that it was a bad thing. So, Metal Gear Solid...
Okay.
They released Ground Zeroes, which was the teaser game for Metal Gear Solid The Phantom Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they released it for free on PlayStation Plus, or as part of your subscription for PlayStation Plus. And they took out the part of the game. Normally, when you buy Ground Zeroes, the whole thing is that you play a pretty short mission. It only takes you about 20 minutes to an hour, depending on, you know, how many times you've done it. And you get graded based upon your performance, and there's lots of stuff to find. There's lots of stuff to do. If you run through it, it's not going to take you very long. But you can do better at it over and over and over again. And you save that game, that completion, and then you log your ranking, and then you get to try again. What they did was they took out the save screen at the end of the game for the free version on PlayStation Plus. So you don't get any of the cool network features. And I've been wrestling with this for, like, weeks. Like, I can't decide if that's a slap in the face or made sense because it's one of their new $20 releases.
That's a slap in the face.
You think so?
Yeah.
Nah.
I think giving you a game that is based on... Giving you a game for free, again, that you're right, that you didn't pay for, but saying that, and if you want to see how well you did, you got to pay the $20. That's kind of a slap in the face. I would feel bad if I got, you know, a game on Xbox Live Gold that was just had a bunch of content cut out of it.
It would suck, but I get it.
It would be like getting a game for free and not having multiplayer because they're like, you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, multiplayer.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. It's from the financial perspective, if you make a product, I would imagine you want to be reimbursed for it.
But usually these are things that no one's buying anymore, and that's why they put them out there.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But people are still buying Ground Zeroes. That's the thing.
That's new and popular-ish.
Yeah.
No, I understand. If you're going to put out... if you're going to give out free games like Xbox and Sony does as part of that stuff, those should be complete games for the most part. I think it gets real hairy when you start doing stuff like this. It could get, like, you question every free game that you start playing. Like, is this a complete game? And they cut stuff out.
It could be something that they test it, and they're like, all right, well, no one complained about it too much. Let's go ahead and start gimping games out.
Yeah, which brings me to another point. I think it was Xbox who was talking about during their press conference that they're going to basically launching this early access program, which I was like, I don't know if I want that, because you can do that all on Steam, and you can get access to these games that are not complete.
And may never be complete. Yeah. I did it, you know, Kerbal Space Program I had no problems with, but it did take a long... It seems like it slows development down a lot.
Because they're getting money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt to me, like, Kerbal Space Program, you know, it took from the time I got it to the time it was complete was quite a while, and it just seemed like they weren't adding that much content with every update. And I was like, well, you know, that's the entire development of some games,
yeah.
And this was just for them to have it early release.
Anyway,
early access.
Your initial question was about Metal Gear.
Oh, no, you guys answered it. I wanted your opinion on which one you felt about
Metal Gear.
If it was a slap to the face or...
Demon.
Not big.
Broke my knife.
Oh, shit. Do you need a new knife?
2005 knife. Internet jokes!
Oh.
Hey, it's a funny video.
From 2005.
Oh, is it that old?
It's pretty old.
God damn.
Yeah.
I keep realizing how old I am. It's not good.
If we...
I had a... Yeah. Yeah. I'm working with a kid right now at work. He's 17. And He's a very spry young man.
The other day, Johnny Dim sat up out of a chair, and there was just, like, flour where his butt was.
Yeah, it's weird.
You're starting to decay on him?
Yeah, a little bit.
Johnny, no!
Oh, okay. No, it was real milled grain. Okay. I think he's becoming a force of nature.
It's keeping my pocket.
Part of the ship, part of the crew.
I just, if you decay on us, can I have most of your stuff?
You can have a third of my stuff.
Okay.
The other two-thirds will be the can go to the winner of the tournament that will be triggered by my death.
Okay.
It's in my will. There will be a tournament, and it'll be a fight to the death. So
do I have
winner
to,
take all.
Do I have to except for my third?
Yeah.
Now, if you decay,
which I will give to you after it's caught on fire.
If you decay,
but I still put it on.
Donkey Kong. I'm sorry. That's all I got for that.
Okay.
I thought you were going with like.
Nope. Decay.
You said decay, and I'm like. Disconnect, but that's with the C.
Did you state like my fun joke?
No.
State of Decay?
State of Decay. I got that for the Xbox One, and I'm enjoying it again.
Is it the same game?
It's the same game with the DLC and everything, and I got it cheaper because I already pre-owned it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are officially rambling at this point.
We've rambled a lot during this episode.
I would like to once again thank the entire gaming community for really doing your letter best.
All four of you that are listening.
Yes, all no. I'm talking about Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, everybody, all
Bethesda,
yeah,
Ubisoft,
all
EA,
content creators out there, because you really are there just trying to, you know, entertain us. And for that, while we criticize the things that we don't like, that is an attempt to hone you into better companies.
Take more chances.
The best games that you possibly can.
And I want
to make
before,
the same game over and over. Take more chances.
Before we sign off. We didn't have a chance to get to all the games. I want to give a shout-out to Cuphead. We did want to talk about that. We didn't have a chance. Go check that out because it looks really cool. Also, I wanted to tell everybody to stay tuned to the Warpod. Check us out next episode because this round of stuff we were announcing, like the network and all that kind of good stuff, and we should have music, actually, at the beginning of this episode, which is cool.
We'll see.
It's the first time. Or next episode, depending on if Zach completes it.
We'll see.
But this is not the first, this is not the only, I should say this is the first and not only, not the only round of announcements we're going to do. But next episode, we should have a lot more cool stuff to, no, not, excuse me. I am stuttering.
You're an old man, Johnny. It's barely 5:40 and you're already tired and ready to go to bed.
Hunt!
Yeah. Hammersite!
My point was, we're going to have more announcements coming out soon. Definitely before Space City Comic Con, which is the end of July.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be before then. So stay tuned.
And I'll be there.
Now I think it's time to say...
Allegedly.
Now I think it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Oh, do that thing that you do to get the free stuff, so do it.
Oh, yeah. We'll say goodbye to everybody in a second. Just to reminder, if you want to get this free signed comic, which is awesome, by Katie Cook, just tweet at us, at Warlocks Brew, and use hashtag Gronk, and just say something nice. It has to be nice.
Does it? It can't be mean?
You
can say something mean to Johnny Dim.
Okay, goodbye, everybody!
Oh, what if they say something...
God damn it!
What if they say something wishful?
Like what?
It's still a wish, so it's magic, but it's like, I wish you were dead.
No, that's not nice.
As long as it's aimed at Johnny, it's okay.
But it's a wish.
But it's not nice.
But it's magical.
And wishes and fairies.
Wishes
and fairies and Long John dreams.
For the third time, can we say goodbye, everybody?
Goodbye, everybody!
Goodbye, everybody!
I'm Batman. Ghost Riders in
the sky. I can't do the sound of the instrument. I'm sorry.
So they added ODST.
Yeah, and you can get it for free if you bought the game soon enough. Which wasn't me, because I knew it was fucked up and I didn't want to buy a fucked up game! Sorry. That was too much. I'm recording. I was waiting for you to do the intro.
Busy slapping your cat's ass.
Are you slapping my pussy?